Turn your Bibles with me to, I would say, my second favorite New Testament book, the book of 1 John. Of course, not the Gospel of John, but right at the end you have those three little epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Brother Gregory, thank you so much for that presentation. It's just kind of overwhelming to take it all in. It's amazing, too, how the Lord's helped you grow with the work and the responsibilities He's given you and how He's using you. A great, great testimony. So thank you for being one of our missionaries. We appreciate it so much. Amen. There is a table in the back, and he'll be willing to stay for a while, but I know they're leaving tonight, so if you want to talk to him, do that right away. Get back there and say hello. If you have questions about the work, feel free to do that. I know they'll be happy to answer them. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. It is possible to do a good job teaching a Sunday school class, having a bus route, working in a music program, or RU. It's possible to be a pastor or an associate in a church and do your job well. It's possible to be a missionary and go to a foreign country and do your job well and still not necessarily be close to the Lord. I don't know if you realize that. But there are people all the time that we find out they're not living for the Lord, yet it seemed like they were doing a great work. Sometimes I have to admit that God blesses in spite of us, not because of us. So many times you're about ready to give up and quit, and then you see God intervene, and He does something. But tonight I'm reminded of the importance of being close to the Lord. That has to be a higher priority than our service, than our job, our responsibility. So are we close to the Lord? Do we love the Lord? Is our love for the Lord growing? 1 John 4 and verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Why do children love their parents? Because their parents love them. Parents take care of them. They do things for them. They give them things. They feed them. They bind up the wounds and give them hugs and kisses and put them to bed at night, give them clothes and food. And so children feel, wow, they love me so much, I want to give that in return. I want to love them. And that's the way it is with God. We love Him because look at what He's done for us. Just think, where would we be tonight except for the intervention of God? None of us would be here, I'll guarantee you that. In fact, for a lot of people out in the world, they would think we're a bit strange being in church on a Sunday night. Or not just going off somewhere and doing what you want to do and go only when you feel led to go. But to be faithful in church, that would seem odd to someone out in the world. But we do it because we love the Lord. And we want to grow in our faith and grow in our love. As a child loves their parents, and a parent first loved them. So our love for the Lord should be because He first loved us. And out of that love He's shown us, the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. I told this story not long ago, but my parents one time, I was pretty young, about 8 or 9 years old, maybe younger. My parents left, and I don't know if they'd ever left me alone because they didn't trust me, but they left for a couple of hours in the evening, and I thought, I'm going to fix an evening meal for them. One problem, I didn't know how to cook. And I have no idea how they ate what I prepared. I probably just got out some hamburger and fried it. I don't know what I did, but they came home and surprised. But the point was, I wanted to show them that I loved them because they loved me. And there are some of you experience the same thing I'm experiencing where your parents are getting older. And you take care of them because they took care of you. You love them because they loved you. In our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we love Him because He first loved us. But we don't want that love to wane. We don't want to take that for granted. We want our love to grow. We want it to be stronger. So how do we show our love for God? How can we grow in our love for the Lord? And it's interesting, as somebody picked the songs they did tonight, "More Love to Thee, O Christ." That was the Lord that put that together, because they had no idea that I'd be preaching on this tonight. In John 14 and verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, we know that that's true. If we love the Lord, we're going to follow the Bible. We're going to obey the Word of God. We'll live righteous and holy lives. Later in that discourse, he says in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." He promised blessings to those that love him and keep his commandments. He said if we love him, the Father will love us. So it is reciprocal. We love him because he loved us, and he loves us because we love him. So it is a continual thing. In 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So we clearly see that we show our love for God and the Lord Jesus Christ by following the Bible, by obeying the Word of God. Now, there's no other way to cut it. We do what's right. If you love your parents, then you follow their instruction. You show them that love by doing what they tell you to do. So one of the ways we show our love for the Lord is to follow the Bible. Now, look, we all know nobody's perfect. We all know that we have our shortcomings. But if we love the Lord, we're going to grow in this area. And a constant thing in our mind is, I want to obey the Bible. If the Bible says it, I want to live by it. I want to do what it says. Every part of our lives should be influenced by the Bible. Our coming to church, our daily life, our devotion life, our marriage, rearing our children, in business. There are principles and directives all through the Bible. Covers every aspect of life. And everything we do should be, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do it God's way. So if we want to show our love for the Lord, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments, but all the things that he told us to do, to follow those. Secondly, we should show our love for him by putting him first. This seems like a simple thing, but it's a difficult thing. And that's where many people stumble. They'll put him first if they get first choice and he's not first anymore. If it's convenient, they'll put him first. Well, if it's convenient and we don't have anything going on and, you know, the weather's not too bad, but it's not too good, then I'll be in church. If I feel like it and I get up in the morning, I'll read my Bible. If I feel like it, then I'll live for the Lord. If you have money left over, I'll give that to the Lord's work. See, that's the tendency of the old man. But if we love the Lord, that has an impact on our lives. And we determine, whatever I do with my life, I'm going to see, what does he want me to do? And I'm going to put that first. That's number one in my life. In a marriage, if you put your spouse first, and I've seen this through the years, that seems like a good thing to do. You put your spouse first. But if you put him above the Lord, you make a big mistake. And then you start making decisions that are bad decisions. If you put the Lord first, your spouse will be in the right place. And if they're second next to the Lord, they'll be in a higher position than they would be if you put them first. So it's important for us to understand, he ought to be first place in our life. For young people thinking about marriage, he ought to be first place. When it comes to our money, our job, everything that we do, our relationships with every person, the Lord ought to be first. So if we put him first in our lives, then that shows our love for him, that we care if he's first place. I mean, what if somebody said, will you marry me? And they say, well, do you love me? Oh, yeah, of course I love you. But you have to remember, you'll never be first place. Sports is first place. You shouldn't have said that. That's not good. I know somebody did that. They married him anyway. Maybe because he had a lot of money. But and if somebody says, well, you know, my mother is above my wife, that's a problem. You know, if you're going to get married, then they have to be above all other things except God. That's the way it has to be. You have to consider them. So he makes it very clear that we know that we know him if we keep his commandments and we follow the word of God. So is he first place? Is he first place in your life? Is he really first place? Or do your personal things, hobbies, ideas, do they come first? In Matthew 22, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, the first verse that I just read, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Think about that for a second. That's just not automatic. That's not easy to do. Because, first of all, we love ourselves. We want the easy way. You know, we want good things to come to us. And we would like to take the easiest path. But if we love the Lord, it's like, whatever He wants, that's what I want. I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll do what You want me to do. One missionary said, where He leads me, I'll follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow. Yeah, whatever God wants you to do. Yeah, and I've been on some mission fields that it was tough getting down the food. It was different. He demands to be first place in your life. Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So the truth is, if we want our love to grow, we learn that truth that it's better to put Him first place. When you put Him first place, He always leaves what is best if we leave the choice to Him. But if we do what we want to do, it's just we're taking usually second best. Put Him first, He'll direct you. Colossians 1:18, He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, He might have preeminence. And that word preeminent means first place, number one. 1 John 2:15, we know is a well-known verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what's the next part? The love of the Father is not in him. Think about that. This is a hard thing to describe. It's one of those things we think we know and understand, but it's never applied personally. Because the world is a world system. It's not necessarily all bad. You have to have money. You have to have, today, a car. Probably you have to have a computer to function today. There are clothes and a home, a place to live. But a lot of it has to do with our attitude. Is that what we want? And do we want more? The original Rockefeller was maybe the richest man, if you prorate money up to this point, maybe the richest man ever. And he was asked the question, how much money does it take for you to be happy? He said, a little bit more. See, that's the attitude that we can have. I just want more. There are people on welfare, and that's all they're living for is money. You don't have to be wealthy. They're more worried about what they get and what they can have rather than about how can I please the Lord. He must have preeminence and not the world and not the things of the world, not the possessions of this world. Sometimes we look at other things and maybe the one sin out of the Ten Commandments we preach about the least. You know what I'm going to say? Thou shalt not covet. Rarely do we talk about that. But it's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. we look at what everybody else has got and we think, oh, I wish I had what they had. And I wish they had what I had. I wish I had a car like that. I'll never forget one of our staff members at the time, and someone who saved here in our church, came back, worked in the ministry. I went out and bought a new car. This is a long time ago. I don't like to buy a new car, buy a new-to-you car, you know, a used car at least. But I bought a brand new car, and I drove it in. And his wife came out, who saved here in the ministry and loved us, and she said, oh, Pastor, I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad that you were able to get a new car. They were driving a car that barely ran. You know what I felt like? I felt like this. I thought, who am I? I mean, I just thought I needed a new car, but they don't have very much. You know what a lot of people would have done? They would have thought, oh, Pastor's got a new car. We had a young family that had just been saved early on in the church, and we were shopping for a youth activity, and her parents saw us, and we had a grocery cart full of food. And she came back and said, see, you're paying all that money, and look at, you know, and the pastor's getting all this food. Well, she didn't know we were shopping for someone else, but that's the way some people are. You know, they're stingy. You know, they want things for themselves, and they're not generous. They're not benevolent. If we prefer the world or anything in the world above Him, the true love for God is not there. Some people hold on to things. Do you know that I don't have my phone on me? I don't bring my phone for a lot of reasons, but I don't bring it to the service, and that's a good idea for all of us. But there are people that sleep with their phone. The first thing they see in the morning is their phone and are checking messages. I wonder if they love that phone more than they love the Lord. I don't know. We have to be careful about the things of the world. He must come first. Number three, we show our love for God by loving the brethren. On the same occasion Jesus taught his disciples to keep commandments, he told them how important it is to love one another. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one of another. Now, if you can't get along with somebody, it's because you don't have the love of God in your heart like you should. If you grow to love the Lord, you'll love everybody. You'll love other people. Now, look, there are evil people out in the world, but for Christ's sake, we can desire to see them saved. We don't have to hate anybody. We can hate sin. We can hate what sin does to people's lives. But we should have a compassion and a love for every person, particularly for other believers. I mean, think about this for a second. Christian people are made up of many different walks of life. Some people have money, a beautiful home. Some people just scraping by. Some just got married. Some are older. People have various different backgrounds. Some are very popular. Some are very quiet. But they're all molded together in what's called a church, a called out assembly of people, and they have all things common in that way. It's amazing how he brings everybody together. I don't know about you, but if you're not in church, you feel like you're missing something, because there's a fellowship. There's something that's here, and just seeing one another, just a blessing. Imagine if you came to church one night and nobody was there. Now, we went to a church one time. We're in Indiana, and I said, I'd not been to this church in a long, long time. Let's go there. And we got there. It was on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. I forget when. There was no one there. Now, I don't know what happened. I guess they canceled the service or something. The weather was okay. I don't know what happened. No one was there. You know, we were left hanging. But when you go to church, you meet other people that are Christians. And the truth is, and you just know this, Brother Gregory, you go anywhere in the world and you meet people that suddenly you feel an affinity, even if you don't know their language. There's something about it. Why? Because you love God. Your love is growing to God and it grows toward other people. So if we love God, we are going to love the brethren. We show God how much we love Him by preferring to be with others of like precious faith. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as He be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." There's something about the relationship with other Christians. The Bible says to edify one another. So that the edification comes not just from the preaching, although that's part of it. Not just from reading the Bible on your own. That's part of it. The edification comes by meeting other people in the fellowship and encouragement for one another. Number four, we show our love for God by telling others about Him. If we love someone, we want to let them know. My wife and I got married in 1973, and it was the 21st of December, just before Christmas. So on a, I think it was a Friday night, if I'm not mistaken, but we had one day and then Sunday. And we really didn't want to go back to our home church on that Sunday, so we went somewhere else. We drove a little ways, probably 20 miles or more to get to church. And so, as the practice is often in the Midwest or South, if they're visitors, they say, "Oh, there's a visitor. Stand up and tell us who you are." So they said, "You know, we have any visitors?" So I stand up and I say, "You know, I'm Jim Townsend. I got married last night." It's like, I don't know why I said that, but I wanted people to know, here's my wife. I'm married. You know, if you love somebody, you want people to know. You want to tell them. If we love the Lord and look what He's done for us, then we do want others to know that. There are people I've been praying for since I got saved, and I love them because I want them to come to Christ. Still not saved. If I sit down with them, do something with them, I go back to Indiana and see them for a while, they try not to swear near me, but sometimes they do. That's all right. I don't expect more than that from them. You know, they'll sit there, and one guy, he had, forget what he had, he had something, you know, he'd talk, he'd spit into some little thing, I don't know what it was. It wasn't a spittoon, but it, you know, that's all right. But you want them to be saved because you want them to know what you know. And experience and have what we have. And you want them to be in heaven someday. We will see him again. We show our love because we want others to know about him as well. The Bible says immediately the church went out everywhere, scattered abroad, preaching the word. Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if he died for all, then all were all dead." And he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So if our love for Christ is growing, we have a compassion and concern for lost people around us and those whom we meet. Even after being threatened and commanded not to speak, Peter and John told the Jewish leaders, "We cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard." He said, "I just can't stop," because they loved the Lord. They knew what he had done in their lives. He said that whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before God in heaven. So we ought to be unashamed to let others know. And we know Peter said, and the other apostles, we ought to obey God rather than man. Why? Because we love the Lord. The last thing we'll mention quickly. We show our love for God by loving Him. By loving Him. The point is that we act because there's a Greek word, agape, or agapao, it's the verb, you know, I love, or the word love is a noun. It is a giving word. It's not just the word love. The word agape in the Greek is a word that has action to it. True. Now, there is a word, phileo, that is a friendship. You know, you have many friends, you get along with people, and it is a mutual relationship, probably. But the word agape is a self-sacrificing love, like a parent that would do anything for their children. If an intruder came into their house, they would give their own life before they would allow anyone to be harmed because they love them. We are willing to give. We're willing to commit. Why? Because we love Him. That's what real love is. It's an action. It's showing that love. Turn with me quickly to 1 John 4 and verse 16. First John 4:16, right toward the end of your Bible. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If we love the Lord, then we'll show that we love him by our attitude, by our actions. When young people get serious about one another, they have, at Bible college where I was at, we don't have one for a good reason, but they have what they call a dating parlor. And sometimes kids get real serious, young people, and they would sit close to one another, across from one another at a desk. Supposedly they're supposed to be studying, but they're not, and they're just looking at one another. Like, please, this is embarrassing. Why are you doing that? They just look at one another. They're in love. They love someone. They're in love with that person. Do we take the time to meditate, to get alone, and just look to him and say, Lord, you're magnificent. You're all powerful. Do we see through nature and creation the power of God? Do we see what he's done in our lives? Do we see the miracle of the Bible? Do we stop and think about who he is and what he represents? If we want our love to grow, then we have to show that love to him. Let's bow for prayer tonight.